the ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the ADVFN podcast, episode 263. It's the weekend podcast because we do it on the weekend or close to the weekend. And joining me are the ladies, the lovely ladies, Steve and Pete. You're all right, lads.
Hello.
Hello, Justin.
You didn't know where to say hello then, did you? I'm not a lady.
Yeah.
Lads, what have you done this week? Have you been looking at the markets? Have you done anything interesting? What's the one thing that stuck out to you this... Keep it clean, Steve. That stuck out to you this week?
Migrants.
Migrants?
Okay.
Are they moving into your house?
Yes.
Oh, it's terrible, Steve. And where do you live? Kent?
Yes.
That's awful what's happening in Kent. They say that it's costing the British business $250 million a day.
Is it
a bit worrying
because of Operation Stack?
Yeah.
Ah, right. That's not good.
It's basically they've turned Kent into a massive car park for lorries. That's. But if you're a spare garden there, you know, you put up one of the signs, £5 park all day, you're laughing, aren't you?
Good point.
Obviously, you'd have a lot of immigrants piling out the back of it halfway through. But, that's So Steve, it's on your mind. Is it immigrants? Is it bothering you?
Well, it's not bothering me, but, you know, it's been on the news quite a bit this week.
Are you a big news watcher?
I am a bit. Well, I've been watching quite a bit of it this week, but I go sometimes and not watch it at all, so not all the time. Not a regular.
Do you record it and watch it at a later date?
Yeah, I've got a few weeks saved back, actually, to catch up on it. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Steve is watching bulletins from 1950, and it's the immigrant problem then. Have you seen anything on the financial side of news this week, Steve?
No.
Well, I'm glad you're staying clear of that. Good.
I might have passed it, but it's not stuck in my mind.
All right. Well, Pete, what have you been doing? And I always like to. We record this on a Friday evening, and I'm always interested to hear what Steve, as a single man in his house there, eats of an evening. What have you had this evening, Stephen?
I had chicken Kiev, chips, beans, and onion rings.
Oh, you know how to live it, didn't you? He's living the dream.
The health dream.
It's quite healthy because I oven...
Chicken Kiev, chips, beans, and onion rings. Which part of that is the healthy bit?
Most of the oil comes out when it cooks, isn't it?
You're talking about that chicken that's processed and pumped with water and all kinds of chemicals.
It's not.
Most of the fat comes out when you cook it.
Steve thinks that's how chickens are. They're stuffed with garlic butter in reality.
Yeah, they're from Kiev, aren't they? That's what they like. So when you get them from Kiev, that's what they're like. You're cool. And Pete, what have you been doing? Have you been? I know you're more into the markets than Steve there. Have you looked at anything on the markets this week?
A couple of occasions this week, I've been very disappointed where you've got a couple of stocks in your portfolio and they've both had essentially good news, I think, really positive news, but it hasn't then led to any sort of great movement in their share price and sort of, if anything, a downward turn for Centrica and Lloyds Bank.
Yeah.
It's a bit annoying, isn't it? Because you kind of hope that on good news days, that's when you'll see a little bit of appreciation as well as then, you know, a nice future ahead or whatever that you can sort of bank on. But it's been disappointing. So I was going to ask your advice. And, you know, what do you do? Do you sell some of those stocks now? Because the good news hasn't had effect of the price. So is it a waste of time being in them at all?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I'm reading here, Lloyds Bank Group posted a 15% increase. The profits were up $1.19 billion for the quarter.
That sounds like quite a lot to me.
Yeah, that's good, but they've also had to put more aside for PPI, and it's getting on my nerves now, PPI. I just think, you know, surely by now, even the most brain-dead, unaware person in the world must realise if they've been done on PPI.
Yeah.
I think anyone now can just basically operate a phone and say, PPI! Gets some kind of claim, you know? Oh, we'll award you. Have you ever been into a bank? Yes!
£1 billion.
Yeah, and they reward them it, but it's dragging on. So I think, you know, it is. I mean, put it this way: Lloyds Bank now put away. I think they've paid out $13.4 billion in mis-selling PPI fines, and they put away an extra $1.4 billion this quarter. So that knocked their profits. But having said that, there would have been a 8% increase in profits to $1.19 billion. So there's still this drag on them. But they have announced, dividend. Of 0.75 pence a share, which is just starting the dividend. But there may be, they announced a special dividend. So there's a special dividend that happens every, you know, it's a one off kind of thing. We'll throw in, I think it's half their earnings they're going to put towards dividends.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing, I think. But I think people are just disappointed by the still this big hit they're taking on PPI, you know, and how long that will drag for. But essentially, I just don't think it's a good long-term play, Lloyds. I mean, they did say their dividend will be progressive mid-term. And they're also looking at a share buyback, which is also good. And Steve, explain a share buyback for us.
It's when you buy stuff back.
That's exactly it. Yeah. It's what, the thing is, a company, if they have lots of profits, they can return money to the shareholders in different ways. One is dividend, another is share buyback. And of course, if a company buys back its own shares, there's less shares in circulation. So obviously, it pushes the price up because it's like if you imagine, it's basically at the moment, diluted share capital, it's trying to make it more concentrated, you know, so you're sucking more shares out. So it makes earnings per share better, because the earnings are divided by less shares. Yes. So the earnings per share look better. But also, if the company thinks, you know, then their shares are cheap, they'll buy it back. And so that's a good thing for shareholders. So it's a good couple of things there. I think it's just a drag on PPI, essentially.
I wasn't expecting to suddenly leap 10%, but you kind of would have hoped it would at least moved up a little bit. And in fact, it dropped down on the Friday when the results were announced. So it was just disappointing. And the same with Centrica as well. Huge increase in profits, looking to cut some jobs, and the movement in the share price wasn't reflected.
I don't know why that was. I mean, they aren't focusing now on British Gas more, and they're cutting back exploration, which is another. I'm quite excited about this oil situation, the price of oil and all that. I'm quite excited by this.
Yes,
I think it's very cyclical. It's very obvious what's going on, but a lot of people don't see this because I'm now scaling into, you know, Shell.
Yeah.
Every day I'm buying Shell, pretty much. Every time it dips to a certain level, I'm buying. I've got limit orders in every half a pound, basically.
Wow.
And as it drops, I buy. Because they came out yesterday with results, a bit better than expected. I think it's $3.4 billion profit, which is pretty much half of what it was this time last year because of the oil price. But it was better than the analysts expected. Plus, the CEO there, Ben Van Binden, said that, I can't pronounce his surname, but he said basically he's guaranteeing the dividend, which is about 7% for this year and next year. So you're getting 7%. If the share price goes down, you're getting more. This is one of the top, you know, biggest companies, top 10 biggest companies in the world. And I'm just thinking, do you know what? I'm piling in there. Because what happens is I reinvest the dividend. So at the moment, I know now I am getting over £500 a quarter in shares from Shell. That's quite nice, isn't it?
So it's you're getting £500 of shares.
A quarter.
Right. Okay.
In dividends.
Oh yeah. Okay.
From them, they're giving me dividends worth over £2,000 a year.
Yeah.
In dividends. So I mean, you know, that's cracking, isn't it? Yes. So all I'm doing is buying more share Shells. I mean, the price goes down. They've announced, like other majors at the moment, like Centrica, they're cutting back on exploration of future projects. Yeah. So I'm thinking, hang on, there's only one way the oil price is going. As soon as this, we're oversupplied with oil at the moment. I think it's about 96 million barrels a day are supplied. It was consumed about 94.5. So it's about 1.5 million barrels a day oversupply, which has been stored. The Saudis are pumping like crazy, and so it's bringing the share price down. But the wells are not being shut off because they're too expensive to shut off straight away and start back up. But future projects are being put on hold because they're not profitable to start up at this level. So what's going to happen in a couple of years' time? Demand is still growing. Isn't it quite obvious? So you've got a company like Shell sticking by the dividend 7%. Mm. And I think in about 5 years' time, we're going to have an oil shortage.
Yeah.
Like what's happened before in previous cyclical problems, where and it'll go from like... And you can look at the chart of the oil price. And I sent out email last week in the newsletter. Whenever there's been a situation like this, low oil price, oversupply, it's taken a couple of years, but all of a sudden, bang, it's gone right up to $144 the last time it happened. So I'm thinking, wait a couple of years. While I'm waiting, I'm getting a nice dividend. Until then, I'll sit on that. But I think the share price will rocket. They're going to be more efficient. They have to be more efficient, you know.
You're only looking at Shell? You're not looking at any other oil plays?
No, when I first wanted to buy, I mean, I was looking at your portfolio, and you have to sort of diversify, you know. And let's make no bones about it. When you're diversifying, you're diversifying against risk. You don't diversify just for the sake of it.
No.
And I don't see a lot of risk in the oil price. I mean, Shell, Hammond, 5-year lows, way oversold. Mm. So I don't see a lot of risk there. And I'm sitting on a 7% dividend. But I looked at, you know, groups when I was looking to buy a sort of old company. I looked at BP, and they had that, you know, that spill in the Gulf of Mexico, and they had that fine overhanging them. So I'm not going to buy into BP because they're very similar companies, but you know, they've got this massive fine hanging over them, BP. So I'll stay clear of that. And they were fined recently $18 billion, which they can pay over 18 years. But that's going to affect their earnings. And Shell hasn't got any such problems like that. So that's why I went for Shell. And
okay.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm thinking, and part of me thinks, I'm selling lots of shares. I'm just trying to keep ticking up. I'm so convinced by this.
Yeah. Why is Shell listed at the moment as in a bid situation?
It's buying BG Group.
Oh, that's another reason.
Right. That's another reason why I like Shell, because BG has huge resources of liquid natural gas.
Right.
Which is also, I mean, India and China are upping their consumption of liquid natural gas, and it's a big growth area. Mm-hmm. And so this will also, help pay the dividends, cash flow positive for them.
Yep.
And even Shell have said, you know, we think midterm the barrel oil price will go back to $17-$19 a barrel.
Yeah.
At the moment, it's about $50. But until then, they're preparing for it to stay low for longer, the price. And so they're becoming more efficient, cutting back on costs. And so they're knuckling down, you know, for the long term. And so, and the forefront was what the guy said, Ben Van Benden. He said, paying dividends is our priority. So I think, hang on, you can't go wrong here, surely.
Yeah.
So, where's the risk there? I can't see any risk, really.
Okay, so if you're a long-term investor holding a variety of stocks like myself, so I've got, say, Lloyds Bank there, I've got a proportion of my portfolio in there.
Hold.
It's going to be a while until they actually start paying a decent dividend. So you've got Shell, like you're saying, at a five-year low. As a long-term investor, would that be a good move now to kind of trim some of your Lloyds Bank stocks and move that money into oil? Because I hear what you're saying, and that does make sense.
Yeah, well, it depends on how big it... I hold Lloyds. So did, like, do you know what? I very rarely do a big punt, you know? And last time I did a big punt was with Lloyds.
Yeah.
And that was in 2009. And you know that because I said, get into them, yes. Get into them. And we went overboard, went crazy. But I almost tripled my money on Lloyds in the end. And I've now scaled right back on that. And I had been holding 30 stocks up until recently. Now I'm holding 18. And I'm piling into Lloyds. I've even bought Megan. It's gone nice, sir. It's for the kids, essentially.
Yep.
And I did have all of that money in a tracker fund. Mm-hmm. But I've sold three-fifths of that. Mm-hmm. And I've just bought Shell.
Right.
Because I'm thinking, this is the company you can hold for the rest of your life now.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity to buy at this low price, collect the dividend, reinvest the stock. So basically, what you do by reinvesting is getting more units, more shares, which, again, next quarter, you get dividends on that as well. So it's compounding, you know. So, I mean, long term, I do see it as a no-brainer.
What happens when the electric cars kick in?
Well, yeah, I know that's going to happen, but it'll take a long time. But, Steve, everything that powers power stations, everything to make those cars is oil-based, you know. So, I mean, consumers are not the big, people, individuals, aren't the huge consumers of oil. It's the industry.
Yep.
You know, industry still need oil. And also, it's like I said, Shell are also in this, Steve. They're also in wind power, solar, and everything. So they're not just, they're not just on oil. They're in liquid natural gas as well. So they're, one of the top 10 biggest companies of the world, you know. And just very interesting. Do you know Shell started? It sounds odd. How do you think Shell started?
On a beach.
Exactly.
Thanks.
There's a guy selling shells.
There you go.
It's a London people in London. Mm-hmm. He got shells. He'd sell them, he'd paint them up authentic shells, sell them. Then he realised that, hang on, people were looking for lamp oil. So he said, started importing lamp oil. And so he bought a big ship to transport it, and it started from there. But he was selling shells.
And that was only 3 years ago.
Yeah, I know. So you can see how ambitious they are.
Wow. He's done very well, Mr. Shell.
But yeah, but do you know what? Like I said, that Lloyds dividend, even though it's like,
0.7.
0.75 pence, yeah. So it's less than 1%. They are going to do a special dividend, so it'll be a bit more than that on the yield. But I think Lloyds is a good long-term thing. But I mean, if you're looking at, you know, long-term, I think at the moment an opportunity lies there with Shell.
Yes.
But I'm not saying this is where the bottom is. I mean, there's a massive support level at £13 and £15. Mm. At the moment, they're at £18.60, so it could go down to that.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm trickling in slowly. I mean, this week I bought quite a lot. When it's volatile, I just put orders in and leave it.
Right.
And so it comes down, I buy more and buy more.
So what sort of levels have you put an order in now? What's your next?
I've got an order in at 18.50, which I bought this morning. It went back up to 18.60 then, though. I've got an order in at 18. I've got an order in at 17.50, and I think an order in at 17. So, but if it keeps going down, I'll just put it down lower and lower, because I'm just accumulating.
Mm. Okay. But then for my argument of, like, if you've got Lloyds, so for me, I don't know, 15-20% of my portfolio are Lloyds shares, and probably only 5% is Shell.
Well, you have to work it out on percentages, isn't it, really? You just got to think, right, over the next 12 months, if you look at the yield, because Lloyds shares have gone nowhere pretty much, have they, in the last couple, in the last 2 years or something? I saw the chart, they've gone nowhere, because, I mean, it's got this overhang with the government holding it, but I think they'll start shifting now. I mean, price-wise, next year and a bit, because they'll be fully privatised, you know? So I think they'll start moving. But if you look at the share price of Lloyds, then I'm looking at a year chart. Actually, in fact, they're 75 pence like a year ago. They're now 83 pence. They've really gone nowhere.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you've got a large holding there, I think, start getting a bit of voice. Because, you know, you've got 7% dividend there on
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, get your money working harder elsewhere.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so where can you get that? And I mean, you know, people think, the Shell are the size of HSBC. So it's like putting your money in a bank, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's be honest, you know. Rather than put your money in a bank account, which is earning nothing, chuck it in. Are you scratching yourself, Steve?
No.
Steve, what are you doing?
I'm drinking something.
I thought you were cleaning the sawdust from the floors, maybe.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Well, yeah, what are you doing?
I'm just swallowing.
Oh, God. Have you got a pipe going into your throat or something?
I thought my brain was imploding.
Yeah, but I think it's very... I'm loving this, because at the moment, the Saudis are playing a dangerous game. They're pumping like crazy, trying to take out all the North American shale oil players. And I want Shell to go lower. I really do. I want the oil price to go lower because it'll take out more competitors, and it'll take out people won't even bother investing. I mean, all these shale oil players, they built these investments basically off a price of oil that was $100 a barrel. Now it's half that price. The rig count did go up a little bit. By 5 rigs in the last week, which is unusual because it's been going down. And in fact, the week before we went up as well. But if it continues at this price, they can't keep investing. You know, they're not going. It's not a business model. You can't earn money off it. And so, it's a war of attrition essentially.
Yeah.
You know, the big boys will stay in there. You know, keep pumping away, and they'll take a loss. They don't care. And so it's a long term game, and it'll give eventually. Supply will give eventually. It's just how long it may take. It may take a year, 18 months, but eventually it will. And when it does, the longer it takes, the bigger the spike in the oil price, because there'll be less players in the market. That's why I'm quite excited about it. I think it's a good long-term investment. Anyway, let's talk about investments. Steve, some interesting things have been happening this week. Do you know what? I'm so annoyed. I did put an order in, like I said, for AutoTrader. I was too greedy. I penny-pinched because it came down. It's gapped down to £3. And I put an order in. It came up at 3.4 pence. And I put a limit order at £3. And it came down to £3.2, and I lowered my limit order down to like £2.98, and then it came down to £3, and I brought it down to £2.97, and then it just jumped back up, and I missed it. And so, Steve, you order trade, which you bought in your virtual portfolio, you put £20,000 in, pretty much, is up 13.76%.
Surely that would have taken all my other ones now to a.
Well, yeah, do you know what? You nearly, for the first time ever, Steve, in your portfolio history, you're nearly breaking even. You're just under 1% down on the entire portfolio. That's including Arm Holdings down 10%, Home Retail down 5%, Intercontinental Hotels. Now, there was a story. They good results, not too bad results, but also they shot up on Starwood Hotels. There's going to be a merger with them, apparently, which the share price went up, and they denied there's a merger, and they came back down a little bit. So they were higher than that. Premier Foods down, that's the worst performer, down 12.78%. Poundland up 4.8%. Pinewood down 6%. Royal Dutch Shells up 2.36%. What else? Virgin Money, that's come back a bit. The good results this week, Steve, actually. I think their pre-tax profit's up by 38% or something.
Well, they were really bad last time, weren't they?
Yeah, they're only now down 2.65%. They were down by 12% last week. But I think that's a good buy there. I mean, you missed time to buy, but I mean, long-term, they're fine. So your entire portfolio is up, is down just by 0.95%, so not even 1%. So it's coming back, Steve. Yeah. And this is not including dividends, of course. Some of these companies pay dividends, so you're not seeing that. It's just capital appreciation on the share prices rising. So do you want to swap out any, Steve, or not?
No,
Premier Foods is a bad performer, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but is it a good idea to pull them out if they're a bad performer, so they could increase?
Well, not unless you've got an alternative idea.
No, I don't.
Did you go to the cheese festival, Steve?
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah, it was good.
That's a good review.
Yeah,
I bet there'll be. Do you know what?
There's not much cheese there, surprisingly.
They'll put that on their website for next year, I think. That review just gave it there.
Yeah,
it's quite good actually. Yeah. Go to the cheese festival, Steve says. Yeah, it's quite good. Yeah, it's all right.
Another satisfied customer.
He'll be coming back next year because he says, "Yeah, it's quite good."
I was
disappointed
there wasn't a massive amount of cheese there. There's lots of other
really?
Things. No, there's ice creams and cakes and stuff, but not.
Are you sure you went to the cheese festival?
That's what I was thinking, Steve. You should just go to some kind of just normal sort of fairground. Yeah. So, what, Steve? Who do you go with in the end?
A few friends.
Oh, you did go. That's nice. So as long as you were on your own.
Yeah, we were worried, weren't we?
Yeah, we were worried. So what did you do there, Steve? Give us a bit more detail. Paint, you know, colour the picture a bit.
I got the train there.
Steady on.
Yeah. I had an ice cream and a cake and a few beers.
Steve, you know what? You're a stickler for healthy eating, aren't you?
It's Saturday.
It's a Saturday.
Saturday.
Ice cream, cake, and a few beers. Lovely. Yeah, no cheese at all.
Well, I didn't see any. It was a big festival. No, there wasn't. I thought the whole thing would have just been a big cheese fest.
Yeah.
It's misleading, isn't it? The name.
Yeah. Maybe there was, actually. And I just missed them. To be fair, I did spend most of the afternoon having a few beers and sat in a jazz tent.
A few beers in the jazz tent.
Yeah.
How euphemism.
Yeah, I know. Steve was there with his cake. I mean, a few beers in the jazz tent. You can spot Steve. He had cake in one hand, ice cream in the other, and beer in the middle there. Listen to jazz.
It's good.
I know. I like that. You and your cake and the ice cream, listening to jazz. Love it. Cool. All right, then. Do you know what? I had an email in recently, actually, saying, what's the deal with director buys? Do you know what director buys are, Steve? Or director deals?
Is that when you can buy directors?
That's it.
Yes.
I said that's it. It's not it at all, really. No, because a lot of people pay attention to this. It's called direct deals. It's when directors buy shares in their own company, you know, and they can't do this. There are closed periods where they can't do this. Just before earnings, they can't do this, obviously, because they have inside information. But it's I wouldn't pin all your investment, you know, advice on that. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, base solely an investment decision on whether a director's bought or not. But it's good to look at, always good to check out whether a director or a couple of directors have been buying shares in the company you're about to invest in. And because, you know, let's be honest, if you are a director of a company, right, and you know it's doing well, you're thinking, well, I've got a bit of spare cash. As a director, you've got a bit of spare cash there. What are you going to do? You know, it's a good thing to buy some stock in your own company if you have really confidence in your own company. So a good thing to do is look, and most websites show it, look for director deals, and they have to be quite significant. So if you've got a director there, they're earning a bit of money. If they buy, you know, a couple of grand, it's not good. But if they're buying, like, you know, double, triple digits, and there's a couple of two or three directors buying, that's a good sign. And don't be, confused by sort of share schemes, because sometimes directors are given shares, obviously, as part of their remuneration. And that's not a lot, but I mean, have a look at that, and you see if two or three directors are buying, then it's usually a good sign, because it means, and this is, you know, a couple of months before results, it's usually a good sign, because sometimes you can, they can do it falsely. I have seen directors trying to buy a company, trying to convince people it's going well, but it doesn't happen very often. And don't worry about directors selling too much, because directors sell for all different reasons. You know, they maybe just want to free up some cash to buy a new house or to go on holidays. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. The directors will not sell because the company's going through, because that would be illegal. But yeah, it's always worth, just one of those things worth checking out. You know, it's like, but I said, it's not the sole purpose you should invest, but it is a little bit of a cherry on the cake there, worth looking at. Because I did that with Telecom Plus. You know, when Telecom Plus came out and they had that one-off charge, 11 million, that a write-off, and the share price slumped. And they started buying, directors started buying big time at £8. And I thought, right, well, the share price is now 7.80. So I bought some at 7.80. And now, Telecom Plus, up to date, £12. And that was like 2 months ago. And so from 7.90 to £12. And where are they at the moment? Yeah, so 51% up on where I bought. That's nice, isn't it?
Yes.
What else? A Knight up 37%. Advanced Oncotherapy, this is my Sunday stock picks list, 47%. Advanced Oncotherapy has come back a lot, hasn't it? Someone said to me the other day, said, what's happening with Advanced Oncotherapy? It's coming back a lot. I said, yeah, it may even go back to the 200-day moving average. And but at the time, I didn't think it would, but it has. It's come back to 6.6 pence. And I think now, this is good for people to buy around here. I really do. I think it's a good in long term, not too much, because it's a new company, but I think it's a good deal here. Steve, are you buying some?
What, Oncotherapy?
Wonky Therapy.
No.
But do you know what they do, Steve, again? Advanced Wonky Therapy?
Yeah.
Go on, Steve, what is it?
Oh, they're the ones who are the alternative cancer laser treatment thing.
Yes.
Proton beam, yes.
That's the one.
Yeah. I honestly think they're a game changer, you know. Oh, I tell you what, Pete, who's been having a hammering, is Nanoko, haven't they?
Yes, they have been having a big hammering, yes. A big
Again, big, I just think that it's a case of they need to bring some more news. They've brought a bit of news out. Yeah. But literally it's gone from like £1.20 down to, what are we 75p at?
75p now.
75 and a half pence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it seems like there's a bottom there. It does hit the bottom, I think. So I think it'll grind up slowly now. But yeah. Anyway, look at my portfolio. So, Anite up 37%, Advanced Oncotherapy up 47%, BHP Billiton down 1.4%, Countrywide down 1.6%. Surprising results from Countrywide this week, not very good.
Mm.
And I wasn't impressed with that, but they said it'll be stronger next second half next year, so not too bad. And nice dividend paying. Cyan Technology down 5%. Interpersonal Finance down 17% still. ITE Group up 1.7%. PayPal up 5%. Prudential down 8%. Royal Dutch Shell, where I bought them at, down 0.5%. Renewal up 32%. Synergen down 6%. Standard Chart up 6%. Telecom Plus, star of the week, last 2 weeks, up 51%. Utility Wise up 9%. And Velocis down 28%. So yes, overall, my portfolio is up 15.5%. There.
I saw that Blur Group are down to 24p now.
Yeah. Which, so I'm sort of glad I've
got out of there at 450p or something, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's a lesson, isn't it? When when a company, and I'm not joking, these are limited companies, public limited companies. Mm. They're not dull, the people who run these companies. And when they start misleading, you think, do you know what? That wasn't a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, I may be, you know, speaking out of turn here, but they're not that stupid. They you know, they've been over ambition in accounting. I mean, there are professionals there working at that company, you know, people who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They actually got the company to be a listed company. So they know what they're doing, and yet they're over. Look at that. It's ridiculous. It's gone from, there'll be a penny stock soon that people will love. But it's gone from over £8, 25 and a half pence, actually.
Yeah.
So that's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah, terrible.
Anything else? I said I'd cover a topic once a week now on here. So director deals was the one thing I covered once a week for people who want to learn stuff.
Yes.
But Steve, any questions you have at all about anything whatsoever in the world? Doesn't have to be stocks and shares. Can be anything.
Oh, you put me on the spot now. I've usually got loads of questions.
How's your love life? Are you looking for ladies?
No, not looking.
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
No.
Are you not courting at all? You're not in Tinder?
No, not at all. No, I've got off that.
Why?
It's a bit rubbish, to be honest.
What do you mean it's a bit rubbish? I think it's revolutionised online dating, isn't it? Because before, like, you guys would never go on Match.com, would you? But you probably dabbled in Tinder. It's really simplified it, isn't it? She's ugly. She's ugly. That's the way it is, isn't it?
Yeah, women have complicated it.
Why?
Because they don't use it like that.
What do you mean? Well, how do they use it? So what is it? You swipe right if they're the right person, swipe left if they're not for you. Is that right? So how can you complicate that?
It's complicated. I'm not going to go into it.
Steve, you've had a couple of...
He's been burned, hasn't he? You can tell.
Have you been banned from it, Steve?
Yeah, they blocked me, yeah.
Can you be blocked from it?
No, I don't know. I've not been blocked. I just got bored of it.
So, hang on. But Steve, come on. How many girls have you swiped correct to in the last, since you've been on it?
Well, that's the thing. When you first do it, you're quite picky. But then after a while, you just keep going yes. And it just turns into a game then.
You lower your standards, don't you?
Well, no. It's just quite nice when someone says they like you. Then even if they're not that attractive, you kind of go, okay, yeah, get rid of them.
It turns out it's your mum.
Yeah.
It's your mum with a thumbs up. Saying, go on, Stevie. Keep going.
Nice.
So, of a session on Tinder, because I've never done it. So, of a session, for example, how long will you do it for? And how many women will you go through? In a nice way.
Well, it depends. When you first go on it, it obviously goes on for quite a while, but then once you've been on it for a while, you only get a couple of new options. And it depends what the area is as well. If you're in a smaller city, you obviously don't get as many options.
Oh, so the ones you swipe out, you don't see again?
No.
And if they swipe you out, but you swipe yes to them, you won't see them again?
Well, no. If they swipe you out, but then you haven't swiped, they'll still come up in your feed. Just nothing will happen, obviously, if you say yes to them.
Have you never been on a date on that?
No,
Steve?
No.
It's like a game. It's a game.
What do you mean?
I don't take it seriously.
Oh, Steve, come on, fella. Pete, you on it?
No.
Turns out you are, and you and Pete and Steve are going on a date tomorrow night. All right. Okay. We both swiped right for each other. Yeah. Yay, like the look of that fella. Yeah. Does it come down to? Do you ever get fellas popping up now and again in your feed? And you get to the stage where you've been so desperate, you think, I don't care, just a nice fella. I go for a couple of pints with him. We never know what will go. You never know what will happen after that.
Yeah. Like the app ran out of women for Steve, so it went on to men.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. I'll just keep going.
There, Justin.
Yeah. Oh, there we are. But so anything else happening in your lives before we go? Just lighten it up, apart from stocks and shares.
I'm going to Southampton on the weekend.
So am I.
You're in Southampton. Oh, cool.
Yeah, there's a guy down there that we know.
Is he on Tinder?
Yeah. No, I think he's more likely on Grindr.
Yeah, I am. Grinding. All right, but, well, listen, I'll see you tomorrow. It's a Friday night, I'll see you tomorrow. Mm. Come down and you can sleep in my kids' beds. They're there as well, the kids are. All right.
That's a bit odd.
You can change Monday's nappy halfway through the night, okay? I'll give you milk! Okay, cool. Well, listen, lads, any other questions? Pete, Steve, anything at all?
Nope.
Not now. Yeah. So it's all got a bit weird. I'll just edge out backwards slowly. Cheers. Yeah. Okay.
Do the disclaimer, Steve.
Yeah, that's it, Steve. Do the disclaimer. Oh, yeah.
Don't buy any shares on what we recommend. Go on your own thingamajigs.
That's it. Perfect. Go on your own thingamajigs.
The ADBFN podcast with Justin Waite.